Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everyone. It's Dueling Tangents time. Hooray, hooray for you. Hooray, hooray for me. Hooray for school. Hooray for everybody. I'm Brian. That over there is not Luke. It's Evan. It's Luke Evan Day again. We are here together all at once. We're going to be talking about a bunch of things today here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got a lot of things to get to, but first, we're going to tell you where we're coming in on. With the southern swath of Wisconsin, over here in Waukesha, I'm at 540 AM. That is WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. Over there, Evan is broadcasting out of the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison. Right on University Avenue there. Pretty awesome place. Check it out if you can. 1580 AM, that's WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app. You can check us out on Facebook right now. I just went live. Hooray for us on Facebook. Hooray for you if you want to check it out on the Facebook page. You can see me in my my dill green shirt. I wore my dill green shirt because it's absorbent. I'm a large, sweaty man, and got a lot of things to sweat out sometimes. I have to drink a lot of water. Make sure you drink a lot of water today, because just going to your car, you're going to pretty much dehydrate yourself, and it's not going to go anywhere. You're in a sauna right now. You're in a breathing sauna, and it's thick air. So keep an eye on your thick friends. So because. My goodness, we are not having a great time. But we move on. I woke up at 5 this morning like, I don't feel comfortable. I need air moving around right now. Stagnancy is not working for this kid. So I'm in a little bit of a daze. Plus, I also made a nice little trip to Madison. If you're listening to me on 92.7 FM, had a little issue with the storm yesterday and resolved that this morning. You can listen to the bright and wonderful signal right now. The storm was awesome. Yesterday, I had to leave the Devil's Advocates a little bit early. My daughter decided to horse around on a floor scooter and bust her head open. Got herself a couple of what would have been a couple of stitches, but they did a hair tourniquet with glue instead. But either way, she gashed her head open, and luckily I came there because they were two hungry ladies who were in near panic. So I had to run yesterday, but I happened to drive out in the middle of the hailstorm. I couldn't see more than 20 feet in front of me, and on 94 I was going 30 miles an hour and thinking, what am I doing going 30? It was ridiculous yesterday. And it's going to... I hate to say that this is a freak storm, but this is the kind of thing you might want to get used to, folks, because I think these things are going to happen more frequently. The volatility of the climate of the world is a little bit different. I don't know if you noticed it, but our seasons are not really changing as much as they're like winter, and now it's summer, and then it's like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Here we go. Volatility is not a good thing as far as weather goes. It does not help anybody. It does not help the growth of the of anything, really, and really kind of screws everything up. So hopefully we can do things to curb that, right? Right, Evan? We're going to do that?
Hopefully.
I believe in us. I don't actually believe in us. And here's why. Today, I want to talk about crime. We're going to have... Today is Law and Order Day on Dueling Tangents. We're going to talk about what crime is, how crime is kind of a construct for us all, and what we actually mean to do about it, and what... you know, what crime is and what the actual narrative on crime is versus what the actual reality is. Because... You know, right now, oh my goodness, they're going to be running on, it's an election year, crime must be up, right? Crime is everywhere. Crime is horrible. And yeah, actually, crime is kind of up around the board. but it's up all over the board. Could you tell me why? Could it possibly be, I don't know, a bunch of economic issues, maybe a whole economic inequality plus inflation plus corporate greed, giant pandemic and trauma and things like that. People have kind of had it at this point. It's ridiculous. And I want to start with a little think piece. I subscribe to the Cup of Coffee podcast, or the Cup of Coffee newsletter, by Craig Calcaterra. He's a baseball news writer, but he's also a former lawyer and an actual journalist. So all of the things he writes about, he cites, and I have the cited article as well, which we're going to get to. But he writes he writes stuff about baseball, and then at the end, he kind of writes a little think pieces every now and then. I think he's just getting paid too much to write baseball, so he just adds on a little bit more because he likes to write a lot. So I want to bring some of his words to you. This is Craig Calcaterra, a little bit about when it comes to crime, feelings rule. There's a strong narrative out there, which had been building for some time, but which seems poised to truly take over the next several months of political discourse, which is the biggest problem in America is crime. The notion that it is out of control, that it's taking over our cities, and that addressing it should stand head and shoulders above every other priority out there. The most important part of this narrative, politically speaking, is the notion that it's a democratic problem, that liberals and progressives have caused this alleged crime epidemic, and that only repudiation of their agenda and candidates will solve it. There's no surprise that Republicans are pushing that because Republicans blame every bad thing that happens on Democrats. What is every bit as predictable, however, is what is so disappointing, is that a great many Democratic candidates have accepted this frame and have chosen to campaign with tough-on-crime messages in order to try and outrun it. It's not the first time and will not be the last time that Democrats fight battles on Republicans' terms. Maybe one day it will actually work, but I kind of doubt it. Democrats will absolutely never learn when it comes to this kind of stuff. Maybe I'd feel differently about this if this was a problem born of Democratic policies and missteps, but there's no evidence for that. Not that you'd know it by reading any newspaper. Yes, the violent crime rate, particularly the murder rate, has spiked in the last couple years. But this is not some problem unique to cities and states that are ruled by Democrats. Indeed, the increase in crime has happened basically everywhere. 8 out of the 10 states with the highest murder rates voted for Donald Trump in 2020. The murder rate is in the 25 states that went for Trump is, on average, 40% higher than that of states that voted for Joe Biden. I'm going to go back and reread those two sentences again. 8 out of the 10 states with the highest murder rates voted for Donald Trump in 2020. The murder rate in 25 states that went for Trump is, on average, 40% higher than that of states that voted for Joe Biden. When you boil it down to cities, sure, you'll see a lot of Democratic-led places with increased violent crime rates. But there's nothing specific about Democratic policies as opposed to the realities of urban existence that causes that to be the case. Once again, I just want to remind everybody, I'm reading from Craig Calcaterra's piece in his newsletter. He's got a daily newsletter called the Cup of Coffee Podcast. Or the Cup of Coffee newsletter. I'm sorry. I don't know why I put I feel like I put podcasts at the end of everything. Everybody, hey, welcome to the Dueling Tangents podcast, which is going live right now, which will be a podcast later. Sometimes if you're listening to it, not now, which might be now for you, but it's now for us. Oh, now I've gone down a tangent. We don't know where we are. Anyway, we are continuing to read from Craig Calcaterra in his piece talking about crime. As Paul Waldman of the Washington Post noted the other day, this is about a week ago or so, there were 131 murders in Jacksonville, Florida in 2019, with that figure rising to 144 in 2020, after which it fell to 109 in 2021. In Fort Worth, Texas, there were 71 murders in 2019, 115 in 2020, and 118 in 2021. These were historic highs. These cities have roughly the same population as San Francisco, but San Francisco had 41 murders in 2019. 48 in 2020, and 56 in 2021. Jacksonville and Fort Worth both have Republican mayors and Republican chief prosecutors, and they have received zero national attention. And Republicans there have not been called out as failed leaders with failed policies, which have led to crime spikes. San Francisco has, however. That city is dominated by Democrats, however. Not to say that violent crime is not, in fact, a problem. Of course it is. I'd argue, however, that it's not a problem primarily or even secondarily or tertiarily born of city-level criminal justice policies or initiatives. Rather, I'd argue that it's a function of a larger societal breakdown spurred on by national and state tax cuts, program cuts, and austerity measures, all of which were exacerbated at warp speed by the pandemic. People are desperate. Stress is at an all-time high. Resources available to help the desperate are harder to find than they ever have been. Oh, and the nation has been utterly flooded with guns and the removal of restrictions on their ownership and use. You don't need to be a genius to do that math. By the way, resources available to help the desperate are harder to find than they ever have been. Yeah, recent studies said that pretty much the people who weren't allowed or were denied UI benefits or were delayed the most were minorities. Just a side note there, reading on in Craig Calcaterra's piece here in his Cup of Coffee newsletter. It's not just the violent crime rate that is fueling this growing political narrative, of course. Property crimes have not spiked anywhere near the way murder rates have, but they have gotten outsized media coverage in the past year or so. Homelessness, which is not a crime, at least not yet, is often spoken of hand-in-hand with actual crime in this political narrative. As is the case with violent crime rates, I think there's a much stronger case to be made that those things are the products of our nation's profound housing crisis and our Gilded Age levels of income inequality than they are Democrats' policies and rhetoric when it comes to arresting, prosecuting, and sentencing people. To the extent of which those things have become problems, it is because of conservative policies and conservatives' refusal to acknowledge them in a genuine, as opposed to an opportunistic way, let alone effectively address them. Yet again, it's Democrats who are called to answer for all of this. And then, I gotta tell you, man, we all buy into it. Oh, yeah, crime, man, we gotta figure it out, man. And honestly, the numbers bear out. It's the poorest states that have the most crime, and I should be able to tell you that because pretty much if you put a map of poverty over a map of violent crime, bingo, it's the same. Same for almost everything else, too. The war on poverty is a war on all of it. If you want to make our society better, if you want to make things better, if you want to make all of us better, you might want to fight poverty. Start there. I think we should ask, what are you going to do to fight poverty? Not give a leg up or anything like that. How are you going to continue to fight poverty? How are you going to make sure it's gone? Come back with me, 844-967-2789. It's Dueling Tangents. I'm Brian. Luke's gone for the week. So, welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. Luke is gone. But he has found a really cool, a new logo for the show, so that's, at least it's a productive trip. Besides hopefully turning his head off and not dealing with the ridiculousness that is the political landscape at this juncture here. This song is really interesting to me, because when Darby was, I had never seen any Law & Order episodes at all. Until my daughter was born, and then when she was feeding, when she took a bottle, 45 minutes, and that's pretty much the exact amount of time as you can fast forward through a Law & Order episode. So I basically just taped every Law & Order SVU episode or Law & Order anything, and I just watched any random episode from waking up at 3 or 4 in the morning and watching the whole thing. But it got to a point where my daughter, every time that song came on. Every time you heard this, like even as like an infant, she would just turn over and go, "I'm hungry," you know, or like later on, it's really funny, the Pavlov's dog thing happened. But yeah, so I got a little soft spot in my heart for the SV, your Law & Order. Plus, Dick Wolf also made an entire Studio City out in Chicago and has employed a whole bunch of my friends on Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, and the like. Plus, that studio is used for a whole bunch of other stuff. It's the largest studio outside of Hollywood. Pretty darn awesome. Right down the road. Anyway, we're talking about the narrative on crime and that somehow Democratic policies are the ones that are, ruining everything. Let I remind you that we are the most incarcerated populace in the world. We're a free country and the most incarcerated populace. And if you think like it's, liberal judges being soft on crime, there's a whole, like Trump's whole thing was appointing conservative justices. We're pretty darn tough on crime. Post-crime. But again, you can't have police everywhere in every city. You can't have armed people, like good guys with guns in every house and everywhere. Most violent crime happens as a result of domestic violence. 60%. Right around there. But I want to go through some numbers here. And this was linked from the Craig Calcaterra article. It's in Salon. It was written March 16th of 2022. It's by Igor Derish. And it has stats in here for you. I'll tell you all about that once we get into there. The title is Republicans Blame Democrats for Crime, but new data shows higher murder rates in red states. Yeah. Republicans have repeatedly blamed Democratic policies in big cities for a rise in murder rates during the pandemic. In fact, Republican states are reporting much higher homicide rates, and some of the highest murder rates are in cities led by Republican mayors, according to data compiled by the centrist think tank Third Way. You can check this out if you'd like to. This article is in Salon, and the data is compiled by centrist think tank Third Way. Republicans from former President Donald Trump to congressional lawmakers to Fox News and talking heads have repeatedly pointed to Democrats' supposed soft-on-crime approach, bail reform laws, and defund the police rhetoric from left-wing activists for fueling a surge in violent crime. But Third Way report shows that murder rates are far higher in Trump-voting red states. And some of the highest murder rates are in cities led by Republicans. Republicans seem to do a much better job of talking about stopping crime than stopping crime, Jim Kessler, one of the report's authors, told Axios. Murder rates were an average of 40% higher in 2020 in the 25 states that Trump carried in the last election compared to states carried by Biden, and far higher than deep blue states than New York and California, where Republicans have assailed Democratic criminal justice reforms. Instead, the highest murder rates were found in states like Mississippi, Kentucky, Alabama, South Carolina, and Arkansas, all of which are dominated by Republicans and were won easily by Trump in 2020, all of which, I would add separately, are also poor states. Poorest states, red states. In all, 8 of the 10 states with the highest per capita murder rates across the country voted for Trump in 2020. None of those 8 states have been carried by a Democrat since 1996. Mississippi had by far the highest murder rate at 20.5 murders per 100,000 residents, followed by Louisiana at 15.79. Alabama, Kentucky, and Missouri all had murder rates higher than 14%. Per 100,000, I'm sorry, compared to the national average of 6.5. The only states that voted for Biden appear in the top 10 are Georgia, longtime Republican stronghold that went blue by a tiny margin in 2020, and New Mexico. Large blue states that have attracted criticism from Republicans had murder rates significantly below the national average. New York's murder rate was 4.11 murders per 100,000. California's was 5.59. According to the study, Mississippi's murder rate was 400 times higher than New York's and 250 times higher than California, 250% higher, I'm sorry. Republicans in the media have also focused on Democrat-led cities in coastal states, but many Republican-led cities have posted higher murder rates. Despite intensive media coverage of increasing crime in House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's San Francisco district, the murder rate in that city was only half of the House Minority Leader House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's district in Bakersfield, a Southern California city with a Republican mayor that overwhelmingly voted Trump. Jacksonville, Florida, we talked about earlier, another Republican-led city, had 120 more murders than San Francisco did in 2020, but received a tiny fraction of the national news coverage. Jacksonville, which had a murder rate of 19.78 per 100,000 residents, and other Republican-led cities like Tulsa at 19.64, Fresno, California, 14.09, Bakersfield, 11.9, Oklahoma City, 11.16, and Lexington, Kentucky, 10.61, have much higher murder rates than the two biggest cities in the nation, New York at 5.94 and Los Angeles at 6.94. Some Democratic-led cities, including what about Chicago, 28.49 and Houston at 17.32, have certainly seen alarming increases in crime, but Fox News coverage and Republican rhetoric have focused vastly more on those examples than on comparable cities with Republican mayors. Over and over again, the actual data says that the murder rate is up in red states and red cities. And actually, it's up in general over all the country. And the cause isn't a lack of law and order. The cause isn't a lack of locking people up. We're really good at locking people up. It's probably that locking people up maybe doesn't work as well as you think it does. Maybe we should try something else. It's also a matter of what we define as crime. I mean, we're talking about murder here specifically. But again, if you sit there and play the blame game, who did this and who did that, and you accept the just the whatever the regular narrative is, it ain't going to work out. Come back with me. It's Dueling Tangents. Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Evan. We make Luke Evan and Bryant Kobe beef. Right? I like beef. Kobe beef is pretty delicious. Either way, I'm down with anything of marbly. And I've been hearing about the fats aren't as bad for you as I'm told. So hooray for us. I'm just going to accept that as fact and move on until it's not again. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anyway. Because you know what? We're broadcasting on the southern swath of Wisconsin here. I'm in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, the Shaw. Evan's over there in the Solidarity Realty Studios at WTTN 1580 AM in Madison, as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. Check us out on the Devil Radio app and give me a call, 844-967-2789. I'm doing a lot of talking about crime today. A lot of talking about what the narrative is on crime and how it's, oh, my goodness, all these Democrat-run cities, and what about Chicago? And not about what about Jacksonville, what about Houston, what about, or actually Houston's a Democrat-run city, but again, what about, you know, Kentucky, Alabama, and Mississippi, and South Carolina, a whole bunch of places that have worse murder rates than the ones they all cry about. But again, let me just finish up this piece and we will get to the phones at 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Let me just finish what this has to say because I want to get to it. There has been undeniably an increase in homicides during the pandemic. U.S. saw a 30% increase in homicides in 2020. Third wave data shows the murder rates have climbed slightly faster in red states than blue states. Murder rates rose by an average of 32.2 in states, about 2% difference, basically. Three of the five states that saw highest increases voted for Trump: Wyoming, South Dakota, and Nebraska, all rural states with no large cities that do not fit into the Republican narrative. Among states that voted for Biden, Wisconsin saw the highest increase at 63.2%. Yay! While Minnesota saw murders rise at 60% as well. Only one of the 10 states with the highest increase was among the top 20 states in population density, and that was Delaware, with a total population of less than 1 million. California's murder rate increased by 31%, about the national average, while New York had a higher-than-average increase of 45.8%. A 2021 analysis previously found that the murder rate increase in Republican-led cities was virtually identical to that in Democrat-led cities. Despite Republican claims, no city in the nation has defunded the police, and hardly any have cut police budgets. This is more than a matter of Republican talking points or Fox News commentary. Mainstream news outlets like CNN and New York Times have similarly pumped out countless headlines warning of rising murder rates in big cities. The current narrative around crime and murder is convenient and wrong, the Third Way report concluded. The data clearly paints a different story. The increase in murders is not a liberal city's problem, but a national problem. Get it? All of us. Murder rates are actually higher in Republican Trump-voting states that haven't even flirted with ideas like defund the police, the think tank said. A more accurate conclusion from the data is that Republicans do a far better job blaming others for high murder rates than actually reducing high murder rates. We've been talking about that on this show and on these airwaves for a while, but again, I'm interested in, you know, how we can fix this, how we can move on. But again, you have to look at the problem and recognize it for what it is. I have a couple of things to go and point towards what that is just a little bit. But let's go to the phones. How you doing, Mark? What's going on, man? Mark from the SAC, you're on the air. How you doing, buddy? Mark from the SAC is not available right now. He is off. All right, let's go, CJ. Tell me what you got, buddy.
You got to be You cannot be serious. I mean, to listen to you, this false narrative that your party never.
I'm just telling you the stats, CJ.
The police.
CJ.
It was written all over Madison.
CJ.
It was sprayed up
CJ.
And down State Street.
Slow down. When has anybody defunded the police? When has it actually happened?
You campaigned on it because they know that.
I didn't campaign on it, CJ.
Deal.
CJ, are you denying? Hold on. Can you stop for just a freaking second, CJ? Are you denying the facts that I just put out there that the highest murder rates are in Trump-backed states? Do you deny that fact?
Oh my God!
Do you deny the fact?
This is really up. You are.
Do you deny the fact that I just put out there? I gave you a fact that.
It's not a fact, and you know it. Look at Chicago. Has that been run? Look at Milwaukee.
You just said, what about Chicago? I'm telling you, 8 of the highest murder rate states voted for Trump. Do you not deny that? Through the cities, CJ. Go back and listen to the podcast. You're not listening whatsoever, man. This is why I don't listen to you. This is why I don't have you on the air. This is why I don't listen to you. Because I'm telling you over and over again, CJ, what the actual... You're done. I'm hanging up on you. You're done. Dude, I'm telling you what the actual facts are. I already went over the cities, you idiot. I already went over the cities. It's in a Salon piece. If you want to go and talk about this and actually talk about the thing, you go find your own facts, okay? Do you have any facts? You never do. You never back them up with facts. This is written in Salon, okay? It's by Igor Derish, D-E-R-Y-S-H, published March 16th, 2022. It's called Republicans Blame Democrats for Crime, but new data shows higher murder rates in red states. If you want to go and deny the facts that I put out there for you, I went out and cited what I talked about. I went out and told you exactly what I'm saying. Coming out here and telling me, no, oh, it's a narrative. It's not a freaking narrative. It's actual data you can look up. You can go to the you can go and look it up yourself. Telling me the sky is blue. My God. How you doing, Mark? Welcome back.
I'm doing good. Sorry, I was just had the phone set down there. Yeah, CJ, every day he removes all doubt. And look up the quote, CJ. You remove all doubt every day.
Yeah.
But you have to look up the facts, and the facts. You know, this is what the facts bear out, and the facts are that. You know, the president, you know, the other fact, CJ, is that the president has very little to do with what he can do about inflation. That's a fact, CJ. That's a fact. I mean, and unemployment is down. It's down lower than it's been for 40 years. That's a fact, CJ. I mean, yes, it's unfortunate we have inflation, but it's a combination of the fact the oil industry is gouging us, and other industries may be gouging us as well because of the trickle-down effect of the oil prices. But the fact is pent-up demand is having an effect on the economy. I mean, and the stock market, you know, overreacts to everything, and it's sad. And to go off on a little tangent that you got to be thinking about, Brian, you talked about all the people that CSI or the Law and Order, you know, just things, all the people that work for that. I watch some movies and you watch the end credits waiting for the special little cookies they put in there. You see all the people that those movies employ. I mean, it's just hundreds of people some of these movies employ.
Yeah.
I mean, that
they're walking corporations, and a lot of them, and thank you very much for the call, Mark. Yeah, a lot of those go to, are in Georgia now. There are a lot of those. You can do movies anywhere. They're popping up studios everywhere. I know Tyler Perry has made his own pretty much studio paradise as well. Those places hire hundreds and hundreds of people. I mean, think about traveling shows as well. They employ hundreds and hundreds of people. And they will fight against Hollywood, and they'll get mad about Hollywood. But those are some of the best-paying jobs. Those people have worked in those jobs forever. It's great. Just to go back to you, if you want to go, what about Chicago, CJ? What about, what about Tulsa? What about Fresno? What about Bakersfield? Oklahoma City? Lexington, Kentucky? How about them, huh? What about Jacksonville, Florida? Bakersfield, huh? What about them? They have higher murder rates. But what about Chicago is the only thing he can talk about because that's all he knows. If you go and, you know, look up the facts, oh my gosh, I might be wrong. How you doing, Joe and Madison?
Well, it's too bad because if CJ just put down his prejudices for a while, he might learn something. And I thought it was fascinating to hear that there's a high murder rate in Bakersfield, which would prompt the question, why? What's going on there? Is it poverty? Have they had a particular industry that's moved out? Are they having problems with methamphetamine or fentanyl or some other thing? As you know, it's sort of devastated West Virginia for a long time, the opioids there. To me, the interesting part is what's happening. What is making Bakersfield be a particularly tough place for a murder rate? That's the question. That's the question.
That's the point. That's the important part. What is causing this murder rate? Not, oh, whose fault is it? It's probably the Democrats because I don't like them at this current point. No, it's neither Republicans nor Democrats' fault. It's proven in the data.
And it's sad when the first words out of his mouth were, you and your false narrative, rather than listening to the stats and saying, I wonder what's going on there. I thought what was one of the most important things you said this hour, many important things, was these list of cities. I would love to see a people ad that just talked about this again and again and said, you know, what about Chicago? What about Bakersfield? What about Chicago? What about Tulsa? That would make a great ad. But I think that the most interesting point you had, Brian, and I really, this just breaks my heart, is when you said that they estimate that somewhere around 60% of violence murder rates are related to domestic violence. Okay, now there is a really interesting one.
If you really want to stop murder rates, if you want to drop murder rate down, especially, and thank you very much for the call again, Joe. Yeah, if you want to get the murder rate down, go after domestic violence. Make it harder for people who are, you know, perpetrators of domestic violence to get a weapon. This is the easiest way to go and tackle this thing. Because most of the people that are murdered by someone they know. Most of the time, especially I would assume in rural areas where everybody knows everybody type of thing. You know what I mean? It's not like somebody roaming around rural areas murdering people. Sure, there are serial killers. That's anecdotal. In general, most of the murders are from people that you know. Let's go to Jeannie in Eau Claire. How you doing, Jeannie?
Hi. I have to say that I'm getting sick of listening to the bullying you guys.
I got the power of the veto there.
I still have to listen to that garbage when I know that you do your research. And, you know, you can't confuse CJ with the facts. He supports the lie, and I'm sorry, but they are liars now. You know, the old Republicans didn't pull this kind of crap.
No.
A lot of them left the party. And these new Republicans are unbelievable, and they're a danger to our country, and they got to cut this crap out because they do not want to solve problems. They love chaos. They love starting fights. They love chaos. They love bullying, and they got a chip on their shoulder, and they don't give one iota about anybody but themselves, unfortunately. So, CJ, knock the crap off because you just make yourself look really bad. Why don't you get an education, and why don't you do something that could be good for our country instead of tearing people down that are trying to do good things for everybody? And thank you for letting me let off a little steam there.
Thanks, Jeannie. Appreciate it. Yeah, of course. Bye. Yeah, look, the fact is, you want to move on. You want to go and say, you know, I can't listen to you or whatever. You got to keep tabs on them every now and then. I always try and open up for, hey, what do you got for me? You want to talk? Are you going to go and argue with the facts, or are you going to just yell at me about, okay, you're going to yell at me. All right, bye. You know, it just isn't sinking in, and it's not going to. But unfortunately, we need more people to pull on this rope. It can't just be, you know, Dems, because again, like we said, Dems are buying this up too. Yeah, crime's a real big thing, and we got to stop this, you know, the way that we're doing. We got to hurt ourselves. Look, man, if you want to solve crime, you got to look at why this stuff is going up and address those problems, not blame, oh, it's this policy or that policy. In general, don't forget, again, we are the most incarcerated country in the world. You know, I don't know what else to tell you. How much harder on crime do you want to be? Because, again, people are locked up more than ever, and it doesn't seem to deter crime. I'm going to give you another another spin before I take some more calls on the next hour, but I see you guys lining up there. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, it's an everybody problem. When people get shot up in a crowd, nobody's going, geez, are they Democrat or Republican? Sometimes they do, though. I would have stat on that, too. Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. Luke is gone for the week, going off making awesome pictures. I got Evan on the board in Madison. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. I do see your calls. I will get to them. I just want to get these Twitter threads out here. One Twitter thread, this is from Brandon Friedman, F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N, Brandon Friedman, B-Friedman, D-C. Pointing out something about, let's say, because again, we were talking about shooters this whole week and for the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, ever since Columbine. How many years has that been? 30? My goodness. Anyway, just the last 2 years, let's look at those stats. He points out and on a triangle on the map of Dallas and the surrounding area, Dallas-Fort Worth, this suburban Dallas area triangle has generated enough racist headlines and far-right extremists in the last 2 years, it's worth exploring why. And here's some examples. And this is from basically North Arlington all the way through Louisville, all the way through Frisco in a triangle, almost up to Denton, basically a triangle in the north suburbs of the Dallas area. And here's just a couple headlines, and you can these are all cited as well. Coleyville, the second of the triangle, two North Texans turn themselves in for charges related to Capitol riots. Coleyville neighborhood wakes up to flyers with hate-filled messages tossed onto lawns. That's fun. People in Keller and Garland also reported receiving racist flyers. Coleyville synagogue hostage crisis was a hate crime and act of terrorism, FBI says. Black principal told to remove Facebook photo of him kissing white wife. Great. Same principal, still Coleyville later on. Texas principal forced to resign over critical race theory. That's fun. The infamous Jenna Ryan from Frisco. Frisco realtor Jenna Ryan released from prison after serving Capitol riot sentence. Two North Texans, Oath Keepers, charged with seditious conspiracy on January 6th. That's from Little Elm and Prosper. Same triangle. Hey, the Patriot Front fascist arrested yesterday in Ohio, hailed from Watauga and Hazlitt in the triangle. In fact, 20% of the people were from in the triangle. South Lake school teacher told to balance Holocaust views with opposing views. South Lake school teacher tells teachers to balance Holocaust books with opposing views. You remember these headlines. They're all from the same triangle. Texas pastor says gay people should be shot in the back of the head in shocking sermon. This is all from the same triangle, the north part of Dallas. Let's look into that. Because you know what? Even if you might slightly sympathize with these right-wing extremists, I don't think they'll care if they're in your way, if you're in their way. Here's another thread just to throw a little curveball here, and then I will take your calls, I promise you, 844-967-2789. Here's from Dave McKenna, and you can check this out at Dave DJ McKenna, McKenna00. Something I've learned while in law school is about the social construction of crime. I work in a legal clinic on wage theft cases where employers have improperly paid workers by not paying, paying below minimum wage, withholding overtime, paid sick time, etc. Most theft is wage theft, meaning the dollar value of stolen wages is greater than the value each year of all burglaries plus robberies, shoplifting, auto theft combined. Yet wage theft is not a crime. If you steal $100 from your employer, you will get arrested. If you call the police because your paycheck is $100 light, the police will tell you to file a complaint with the AG, and the AG will settle the case for between $50 and $200. That's actually not true, because the AGs only take on big cases with thousands of dollars at stake, but they will settle big cases by typically requiring the employer to properly pay what is owed. No jail, no criminal record. If the AG doesn't want to take the case, it will give you a private right of action to sue the employer in civil court for what you are owed plus damages. It can take a 6 to 8 month to win at trial and months or years to collect the judgment if you win. In short, we address the predominant form of theft in the U.S. with civil court cases, not criminal cases. We have literally defined wage theft not as a crime. Theft by you, a crime. Theft by your employer, not a crime. This is what we mean when we say crime is socially constructed. Not all social harms are criminalized. Not all actors committing social harm are criminalized. I settled a case for this is Dave McKenna again on Twitter. I settled a case for $27K for three clients last year. We spent a month negotiating the non-disclosure agreement because the employer stated if all his employees sued him and settled him like this, he would go bankrupt. His business model depended on wage theft. These employers go on to hold elected office. 45 famously used wage theft to improve his finances on construction projects, leaving a trail of victims in his wake. Some sued and he had to pay them. Others didn't have resources to pursue multi-year litigation and got nothing. What should we do about it? Criminalize employers or decriminalize theft or something else? Wage theft shows that we believe restitution is important. Giving the money back is important. Currently, AG keeps track of bad actors and will increase future financial penalties for bad actors. It also shows when harm is committed, we don't have to lock someone in a cage or label them a felon, both of which destroys years of life, even the sentence is over. We can demand restitution instead of punishment. It also shows how ridiculous the label high crime neighborhood is and the arbitrary and racist response of police surveillance in HCN because we defined it that way. Consider the social construction of murder. This is where it comes back full circle. Poison a person, go to jail. They call you a felon for life. Poison a city, resulting in dozens of deaths and thousands with brain damage. Get a teaching fellowship at Harvard. They call you ex-governor of Michigan, Rick Snyder. Same with corporate poisoning. The people committing the most harm aren't in jail, don't live in high-crime neighborhoods, and black people commit more crime is truly only because of how we have defined crimes and how we can then surveil their community in response to find more crimes. There are so many organizations trying to address harm and accountability within community without incarcerations, and they call themselves prison abolitionists. But again, wage theft is more than actual theft. It is theft, but my goodness. I got 2 minutes left. Let's go to Ron in Madison. How you doing, Ron?
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Glorious, buddy.
You just touched on almost exactly what I was going to talk about.
I got a sense for that, Ron.
Yeah, this entire... if you seriously want to reduce crime, you have to go to what causes crime.
Yeah.
Most violent crime are crimes of desperation. What makes people desperate? Not having enough food, not being able to feed their kids, you know.
Or maybe having an employer that just fired them for, you know, speaking up about their employees' rights and, maybe wants to settle. Or maybe an employer that stole their overtime they thought they were going to get or their, you know, whatever.
I'm right there. I was forced out of a job because I was a union steward. And I spoke up defending people.
It happens, man. And don't get me started on pensions. We don't have enough time. That's an entire show. But my goodness. Like, you can get screwed over. There's entire unions who had actual deals with actual pensions that got them taken from them and screwed out of them. And we've covered that with our buddy Bob Amston before. And those people who did that are running the country. This is what I'm talking about. What do you define as crime and what is actual harm to people? Sure, murder is absolutely awful. We need to figure out how to stop that. But a lot of it is caused by a chain of ripple effect of destroying the country because you want to win. Huh? Is it worth it? I don't know. Come back and tell me tomorrow. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents. Devil's Advocates are next.